Well, thanks for, thanks for having me today. It's funny, I told Alex this story 13 years ago. I was a brand new Christian, and a good friend of mine kept asking me to go to this Tuesday morning men's group, and I didn't even know what a men's group was, let alone, you know, RBC. So finally went, and was really blessed, and I just, I really have a connection here. But then again, 13 years later, Pastor Steve Dawson, who is a connection for Alex and I, called me Friday night and said, "Hey, the men's group at RBC had a speaker cancel, and I thought you'd be a perfect substitute." And so I was praying that, you know, I had something on my schedule that would not let me come. And just like 13 years ago, couldn't find anything, and finally said, "Okay." And then to make things worse, I said, "Well, what is it that I'm going to speak about?" And they said, "You know, overcoming fear." And I said, "How do I overcome the fear of speaking to come to speak to you guys today?" So anyway, it's been a long journey. RBC played a big part of my early Christian walk. Moved out to Percival and kind of moved away from the church and started attending church out that way. But you know, thank Mike and Paul Goodnight and John Woodall. I think they conspired with my wife. I used to play basketball with those guys and didn't know they were pastors. And then found out when I came to RBC, I'm like, "Oh no, I wonder what I said on the basketball court. Those guys are actually pastors." So anyway, my journey that I wanted to talk about today started about 4 years ago. I had a successful business for 20 years. I ran a printing business, and it was at the end of my franchise agreement in 2007, and I had an option to either re-up in a franchise agreement for another 10 years or take it in a different direction. And I really felt like God was leading me to do something. Sorry about that. Well, I really felt like God was leading me in a different direction than the franchise, and but I wasn't sure what. So I had I was really crying out to the Lord to give me some direction. I felt like I was stagnant. I didn't feel like I was doing much for the Lord at the time. And I was in my car, I remember, in 2007, and I was just crying out, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Here I am at this crossroads, and I have a decision to make." And I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Bruce Almighty, but I had a Bruce Almighty moment. I was literally crying out, and I said to the words, "Should I sell out? Should I sell out?" And I swear to God, I pulled up on a car, and the license plate said, "Sell out." And I don't feel like God speaks to me like that very often, and I was like shocked. I was like pinching myself. That didn't just happen, because it wasn't like coincidentally 15 minutes ago I said it. I said it and there it was. So I called a guy I knew that was wanting to buy my business, and I said, "Dave, you're not going to believe this," and he's not a Christian. I said, "But God just told me I should sell my business, and I think I should sell it to you." And he said, "Okay." So long story short, we went through this somewhat feeble attempt to try to make this business transaction work, and it didn't. So I felt like, well, maybe I didn't hear God. So quite honestly, out of comfort versus faith, I took my business, moved it to Leesburg because of my non-compete with the franchise, and just kept doing what I was doing. And that was, like I said, that was late 2007, early 2008, and the business just didn't really take off. Now, I blamed it on the economy. As we all know, it's not been good for the last couple of years, but I was really struggling with where I was going. I felt like I just kept hitting a roadblock. And again, crying out to the Lord, wanting to know what His direction for my life was. And in those couple of years, I had at least four or five men that I know well just challenged me to say, "All right, if you don't feel like God's working in your life, you don't feel like He's giving you any direction, when is the last time that God spoke to you?" And y'all can imagine Bruce Almighty, you know, sell out. And, you know, the point these gentlemen made to me was, you know, if you don't follow what God tells you when he tells you, what is he going to tell you then? Is he going to speak to you again, or are you going to be obedient to what he told you the first time? So I struggled with that. I heard it once, you know, thought that was nice and that was a good challenge, but then I heard it again. And by about the fourth time, I realized that I really needed to take what he told me and do it. And, you know, that sounds real spiritual and all, but from a natural perspective, I was about a month away from bankruptcy anyway. So I called a good friend of mine, and this is all happening in the last 3 years, but at this point, now we're into 2010. And at the beginning of 2010, I called another good friend of mine, not the first guy that I attempted to sell to, but another guy, and just told him that, again, God had told me to sell 3 years ago. I didn't listen, and I really feel like I need to do this now. And within a month, we had the deal done. I sold 90% of the business. I kept a small portion for myself. It was a printing company, and I sold the printing division to another guy, and I kept the website just to have something my son and I run together. But again, it was for those years, for all of the years I was in business, I always had this agitation. I always had this frustration. And as I started to be obedient to God, I felt like the trust level just was raised just tenfold. For the first time in my life, in my business life, I was out of control. I sold the business. I still had a lot of work to do ahead of me. As of March 1st, 2010, I sold the business. I still had a building that I owned in Leesburg. I still had, at the time, I thought, well over $100,000 worth of equipment that I needed to get rid of. But I didn't have any business left. So it took me from that March, from last March until the end of the year to really get out from under everything. Still not quite out from under everything financially, but most of it's done. But during that time, I realized that I hadn't been trusting God, and that it was just simply fear that I was walking in. I felt like I was going to control everything, and in fact, as things slowed down, and I know you guys are all busy, but I was so busy for 20 years that I didn't have time to see that I was trying to control out of fear, and that God just really didn't play as big a part in my life as I acted like he did. I talked the talk, but I can't honestly say I walked the walk. And for me, business was probably the hardest place to be a Christian. I remember John Woodall, again, he played a big part. His wife Debbie was one of my customers who didn't even know it. And he came in to pick up a job. Like one of the first months that I was a Christian, he came in to pick up a job that Debbie had ordered at my print company, and he started talking about RBC and church and faith, and I was looking around going, you know, you got to keep that down. These people don't know that I'm a Christian, you know. So I spent the first couple of years in the closet as a Christian. So business for me was really difficult because I ran the business for 10 years as a non-believer, and then all of a sudden God started prompting me to make these changes in business, and I didn't know how to run a business as a Christian. I only knew how to run a business as a non-believer, and that transition took me a good 5 years before I started recognizing that you can run a business and do things right and trust God. But again, so much of my testimony was out of fear, and I didn't realize that until everything had calmed down and I'd gotten rid of the business and slowed down and quieted down and started to trust him more and more. So now I'm, you know, again, because we were so close to bankruptcy, we sold our house just to pay off debt. The business, I was still upside down. I'm a walking short sale because even though I got a pretty good penny for the business, I was in so much debt that I still owe personally. Again, sold my house to pay off my vendors so we wouldn't go bankrupt. And I knew what it meant like to be on the other side of a lot of bankruptcies and not get paid. So I really felt strongly that I needed to pay everybody. But We had to rent a house. It was, again, not where I expected to be at 50 years old. After running a business for 20 years, it's just not where I wanted to be, obviously, and not where I expected to be. But I believe it's right where God needed to put me, because he had to show me pretty blatantly that I wasn't going to be in control. And the trust level just jumped through the roof, because I had no choice. But at the end of the year, I thought, okay, well, it's done. You know, we're beyond this. In a lot of ways, I felt better, because I didn't have any overbearing pressure that I had the years before. So here we step into 2011. I think it can't be any worse than 2010. This is probably the worst thing I would imagine I could go through. So I'm thinking this is going to be a great year and a great move ahead. And we step into 2011, and just 3 weeks ago, my wife started having speaking problems, and she just couldn't get her thoughts together. And she teaches a Bible study, and the Bible study was real quick, and she came home, and I was like, what happened? And she said, I just couldn't get my thoughts together today. And she had some depression issues 15 years ago. Actually, that's what led her to the Lord. So we just started to think, well, maybe it's hormonal, maybe it's, you know, mental, certainly not anything physical. So we kind of just ignored it for a couple of days, and it didn't get any better. It didn't get much worse. So she hadn't had a physical in forever, so I told her, well, go ahead and make an appointment with a doctor to just at least have a physical. And that was Monday the 21st, and I went with her. And so we started off at the regular MD, checked her out. Everything was fine. Couldn't find anything wrong. He said, probably need to think about a psychiatrist. And again, that's what we were thinking anyway, that something was broke somewhere. It wasn't going to be physical. But he said, you probably ought to see a neurologist and get a CT scan and get some blood work done. So we spent the day running around to doctors, and at the end of the day, we went ahead and found a neurologist in Leesburg, went to the neurologist, and again, he said the same thing, couldn't really find anything wrong, but he really felt strongly that we needed to have an MRI. And at that point, she was like, no, I mean, we're done. She was just done being poked and prodded, and really thought that it was more spiritual and more emotional, and we were just going to have to go see counseling the next week. So he insisted, and I felt better to just get it over with, you know, get the medical out of the way. So at 4 o'clock, we went and had the MRI, and here I am 1 minute thinking, what am I going to have for dinner, and how are we going to pay for counseling? And the radiologist called me over as my wife was getting out of the MRI, and I'm looking at a tumor. So she had a huge tennis-sized ball tumor in her left front lobe. And it was amazing, because the doctor, you know, he said, my protocol is to just send you over to Loudoun. And he said, but if you can keep it together, put your wife in the car, drive her to Fairfax, and start the process, because this is serious. He said, you don't want to lose a day by going to Loudoun and then having them transfer you to Fairfax. So as you can imagine, my life just went, just changed in front of my eyes. And I had to do everything I could to keep it together and get her in the car and then try to tell her she has a tumor in her head and drive her to Fairfax in the middle of rush hour. The beauty was that through the whole thing, she had a peace. It was unbelievable. And I couldn't even look at her. I wasn't very flowery about it. I'm looking straight ahead and said, you have a tumor. And she didn't even flinch. She just took it. If she had freaked out, I'd have freaked out. I wouldn't have been able to drive. So we get to the hospital, and I bring in a CD. I'm expecting going to the emergency room, and they're going to rush her off to surgery. And 5 hours later, we were getting into a room. And anyway, that day was just, as far as my concern, a day from hell. The second and maybe even the hardest thing, I had to call my kids and tell them that mom had a tumor and we were at Fairfax. They didn't have the peace that she did, and it made it really difficult. So that night, that was just the 21st of February, and that was probably the hardest day. I know it's the hardest day of my life. So that night was sleepless. I slept in a chair next to her. She slept in the bed. But the amazing thing is that I woke up the next morning, and it's what I've been praying for, but the peace of God just came over me like I can't describe. And all those little worries and concerns and frustrations that I've always had, the agitation, it was gone. I mean, something this major, and I tried to express it to my kids, and I believe they got it. I said, as crazy as it sounds, that this is what I've been praying for. I would take my wife's spot in a second, but what I've been praying for is something so radical to happen in our lives that the faith that's been here for so many years goes to my heart, and I can't explain it, and I guess I'm not supposed to, because it is that peace that just comes. It was in my heart, and I just felt at peace, and my wife's felt at peace with this the whole time. That's why she had never panicked, even when, I mean, can you imagine any of you here being able to think of something? She's completely there mentally, but not being able to write it or speak it. She couldn't get her thoughts out. For me, that would have driven me crazy. So, but I believe that this whole, for me anyway, this whole journey through business and now with this physical thing with my wife, it just has been a transition that God has brought me through, because he had to strip me of everything a year ago that I thought I was in control of, I think, in order to handle the situation I am in today, because I started really with a mental ascension towards trust last year. I really hadn't trusted God. And I don't think if I didn't go through what I went through last year of really having to be stripped of everything financially and learning how to trust him in a deep way and really realizing that I was reacting mainly out of fear my entire life, and the whole trust thing just wasn't there. I was trusting in myself. But by going through that for the year, and it didn't just go away, my obedience, I thought I was going to be obedient a year ago and that everything would just fall into place. Well, it's not even in place yet, but it took about 7 or 8 months for anything to fall into place after I felt like I listened and was obedient. But again, without that, and last year, I got to be honest, it was a lot of mental work. I was struggling with trying to mentally get the fact that I needed to trust God. It wasn't in my heart. It was in my head. But I kept diving into the Word. I had to, because I felt like I was going to lose it last year. But I think my challenge to you guys is to, regardless of whether this is in your heart now, you know, keep plugging away and keep plowing into the Word, even if it's mental, because you will have a trial. You know, I pray that it's not at the level that I'm dealing with right now, but at the same thing, my family and my community and our immediate community has been impacted by this in such a way that I can't think of anything that's going to draw us closer to God than what we're going through right now. And we're right at the beginning of this journey. Yesterday, I almost called Alex yesterday and just told him, I better not come, because my faith that was up here 2 weeks ago is back down here. We went through some, we went and met with the oncologist and heard some of the treatment plans. And quite honestly, my wife and I aren't on the same page. I thought we were, but we hadn't really discussed it until yesterday. And she feels strongly that she doesn't want to have treatment. She feels like she's healed. And my faith just, like I said, it dropped like a rock yesterday, because I realized that my faith isn't where hers is right now. But I'm not angry at her. If anything, if anybody else had gone through this and said something like that to me even 6 months ago, I'd say, you're crazy. You got to have treatment. But where I'm right now, I'm like, you know, it's pretty clear what the Word says, that she's healed. But yet my faith isn't quite there. So I'm at another crossroads with my faith right now. And it's a real challenge. Last night was really, really tough. And my first reaction is to get frustrated with her, but my second was, you know, where's my faith, you know? And I want to hear from God. I mean, if we're supposed to have treatment, I want us to both hear from God that that's exactly what it is. If we're not supposed to have treatment and we trust that she's completely healed, which I want to hear from God. I just want to know that, we're both on the same page. So I was all pumped up about sharing, and then that happened yesterday. And I was like, God, that just, it just sent me into a tailspin. So it's just beginning for us. But I just felt strongly that when I heard the subject matter, I wanted to share my testimony, because I know there's a lot of guys that are in the same boat. They don't put the lack of trust and fear together, but it's just what it is. You know, we all like to talk about trusting God, but you know, are you trusting God in your daily decisions? The other thing this has done is it's made my, I'm pretty strategic in my thinking. It's made my strategic thinking really break down to today. What do I got to deal with today? Like, I don't have to deal with this issue with my wife till tomorrow. So, I mean, I could just be faithful for today. And it really has put a whole different perspective in my life. And I just want to continue to trust him and have my faith really, really grown through this situation. And my family has been very supportive. My kids are 25, 23, and 21. And my son is just the spiritual side. He's been one. He's never been in any trouble, but he's always been swayed by the world. You know, he wants to go out and go to Georgetown. He wants to hang out with friends at party. But yet he walks a pretty good line, but he's not. Well, this has just thrown him into, you know, a whole different realm of his walk. So much good has come out of it. And the fact that my wife is just, again, she has not shown anything but, and she's, you can't fake it. You can't have that kind of thing and fake it. So it's been such a uplifting testimony for our entire family. And we have a website that it's kind of evolved into this evangelistic tool. But I got so many phone calls the first night. We build websites. So I told my son, I said, just put a website up so people stop calling me so they can have one place to go and get this information. Because I was, that first night, I had 100 phone calls. And I was going nuts because I didn't want to talk to anybody. And so we put up this website just so people could follow and leave me alone. And we've had 5,000 hits and our 15,000 hits, 5,000 individual unique users. And we can track it through Google Analytics. We've got obscure companies in South America, or countries in South America even. We've got people all over the world praying for her. And but the cool thing is that so many unsaved people have been following it. And you know, scripture after scripture, and it's so much, it's great that we get all this scripture, and I can read the scripture to her, and we can share the scripture together. It's just been wonderful to lift us up as a family, and quite honestly, touch the community with a testimony of our faith. So, that's about it. The website is MamaMiz, MamaMiz.com. And again, we try to put a daily post up about her progression and the things that, mainly specific prayer requests, because a lot of people want to know exactly what they can pray for. So we try to put up specific prayer requests and exactly what we're going through. And we felt it. We've really felt the prayers, you know, because there's a lot of things daily that have to be decided. And the other thing, as far as a decision maker, I've been thrust into a whole different role as a leader of my family, which is probably a whole different topic. But you know, spiritually, my wife was a leader for a lot of years, and that role has been shifted, not just because of this, but it had been being shifted, and I had taken more of a spiritual leadership over the family in the last couple of years. But now, and again, what Satan meant for evil, God's really doing wonders with. She couldn't talk. So the guy who couldn't do anything medically, I mean, I would ask my wife, when did I have a physical? When did I have that surgery? I had no clue about myself, let alone my family. Now she can't talk, and I'm having to lead through all this medical drama. And it's just been again, not a place that I would want to be, but it's thrust me into a different leadership role, spiritually and practically as well. So, oh yeah, there it is. It's just, you know, the story I told about how it began. I just posted the story of the week before the surgery. A lot of people just wanted to know everything, and so I've tried to be pretty transparent. At sometimes I think my wife, she doesn't even appreciate it, because if not many of you know her, but she doesn't want to be in the limelight in this. She wants God to get all the glory, and she feels like she's been put out there a little bit too much as, you know, a martyr, and she doesn't want to be that. She just wants to, you know. The amazing thing is, and again, to know my wife, it's she's amazing. But somebody asked her the other day, and this is not something I would post, but I heard the day we left the hospital, one of her friends said, "Are you praying for yourself for healing?" And she said, "No, it's not time yet. God's only told me to rest." And some people would freak out by that response, but I know my wife, and the Holy Spirit is just such in her that she's just been told to rest. So she's been having to keep her mouth shut, and for the first time, I think, receive. Because if you read some of these posts, she's spoken into so many, mainly women's lives, and now for the first time, she can't minister. All she can do is sit and rest and be ministered to. So it's been, again, this is also for me over the last, even before this, but for the last year anyway, I can look back for the first time and point to things and see where God has directed every little step, where for years I was like, where is God in this? You know, why isn't God coming through here? Why isn't God coming through there? I mean, that week that we went through and that day we went through all the medical issues, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many little steps that God directed. I mean, we went home after one doctor's office and she went to bed. Before we went to see the neurosurgeon or the neurologist that sent us to the MRI, she was in bed sleeping, and I just felt like God prompted me to get her out of bed and get this done and go back to the neurologist, who's the one who made us go to the MRI, which prompted us to be at the hospital. So, again, for the first time in my life, the faith that has been here, now here, but it's also directing me in such a prominent way. And I'm thrilled to be in this presence for the first time. But I challenge everybody here not to let it be this dramatic for your life, to just take a hold of it. Even if it's mental right now, keep plowing through until it becomes part of your heart. Yeah, when I sold the business back, it's Allegra. My franchise was an Allegra printing company in Sterling right here, actually right next street over. I sold that, moved to Leesburg, started a business called Unity Business Solutions, and we did more marketing, still did printing, but websites started to take off in that business, and the printing kept going down. So really before it went all the way down, is when I sold it back to Allegra and Chantilly. And right after I sold my business to the Allegra and Chantilly, the Reston store became available. The guy was having some financial troubles. So to make a long story short, the owner of the Chantilly operation bought the Reston location with me in mind to go run it. So now I'm running the Reston location and working the website business at the same time. So I have a pretty good financial situation with that. And what a blessing. Again, he's not a believer, and I'm a contractor, and he blessed me with paying me, and he said basically as long as it takes to get through this, he'll pay me, which is a huge blessing, because financially I don't have to stress. You know, again, but I wasn't stressed, because I was like, you know what? God's going to take care of it. If God could take care of this, I'm not worried about money right now. I'm not worried about business right now. People are asking me, well, what about that? What about that? I'm like, I could care less. You know, I mean, and it's great because it's a freedom that I've never had. I mean, I could talk about it, but then I'd go right back into the world. And the other thing that happened in the hospital, it was a little bit of a cocoon because I didn't have anything to think about, and I didn't even have to think about my wife because the doctors were taking care of her. The minute I got back out, Satan just started attacking me. Well, you better worry about this, and you better worry about business. And I just had to, somebody said, well, you're just in denial. And I said, yeah, I am in denial. I'm denying Satan, and I'm just trusting God. So.
Also, your son, you said he was, you know, not right on the, little here and there. What has this done to him in the sense of, does he feel like this is a challenge for him to get kind of back on track, or?
Yeah, I don't,
what's it doing to him?
I don't think, again, God had started to put him in the right direction. None of this happened like that. He started to recognize that he was hanging around with the wrong people in the last couple of months. And he's never been, like I said, he's not a bad kid. Anybody that knows him thinks he's awesome. He's never been in any trouble. But we recognize that he was hanging out with the wrong people that could potentially send him down the wrong path. So he recognized that prior to this. And then what this has done is just he's starting to ask questions. He's starting to talk about faith in a way that none of us really ever have, to me. And he and I have never really been able to have those conversations. Like the day, again, a lot of this stuff sounds crazy, and I would think somebody was crazy who said it, but now that it's happened to me, it's not crazy. But she came out of surgery, and we expected it to be bad. The surgeon already told me this is an aggressive, malignant cancer. But it could be a cyst. It could be an infection. You know, I mean, they gave us some medical hope that it could be something different. Well, when the surgeon came out, probably the heart, maybe the third hardest thing for me, I had 25 people looking at me waiting for a reaction. And he told me, you know, it's what I thought. It's malignant and it's aggressive. And I didn't panic because that's what I expected. When I said something to my son right after, I said, as crazy as this sounds, if it had been something really simple, I don't think God would have gotten quite the glory for healing and a miracle, because people would go, well, gosh, why'd they make such a big deal out of an infection? You know, and I know that sounds nutty, but he said, I'm right with you, Dad. I agree. This has got to be something to the extreme for people to see this as an amazing miracle. So, and I guarantee you, he wouldn't have thought that a couple of weeks ago. So, again, my kids are right there. And I believe that God's using this. You know, I don't really care about the community, and I hate to say that, but that's, I care. I want my family to grow out of this, and it's just been amazing. So the community is just an afterthought, and this website became this community outreach that God had obviously planned, but I didn't. So just pray for my faith to continue to be at the level I felt like it was 2 weeks ago, because coming back into the real world, getting back into the routine of business, I'm working a couple of days a week again, just having to make a lot of decisions, just being back in my house even. It just, my wife wants to get back into her routine. I want to just feel that peace that I had last week in the hospital, and maintain that peace and have the strength. Like I said yesterday, I was floored with the lack of faith that I felt like I had when she challenged me with some of the things that she was thinking about. So I think number one is for us to be on the same page, whatever that is. And I don't care how many people think we're crazy, and you know, if we choose not to have treatment, but we're together. The last thing I can't fake that. If I don't get a message or something from God, there's no way I'm going to be able to go through this just because she feels like she can't have treatment. So we have to be united. So that's all I really need is unity.
Can Molly speak at all?
Oh, yeah. She's at probably 80-85% now. Okay. The tumor was a problem, but the swelling around the tumor became more of a problem. It actually went into the right side. It was, well, I mean, that thing got, not the tumor was a tennis ball, but the swelling probably was a melon. You know, it pushed into her right side of her brain even. So the problem is now, and the other thing from a healing perspective, I'm like, well, let's just go get an MRI and show that it's gone if it's gone. But they can't for 4 weeks at least because of the swelling. And the swelling is what causes the speech, and her whole right side became weak, but that didn't happen until like the day right before surgery. She had no symptoms, no headaches. No. The doctors were shocked that she didn't have a seizure for the size of this thing, but nothing. She felt fine, you know, and again, some people could look back and go, man, I should have saw that or I should have done this. Nothing. We had no symptoms until the week before, and we made an appointment right away, and even then the doctors were like, it's probably just psychological. So,
trusting God will do something. For you guys that are new here, we have a little time of discussion still afterwards.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Father, we lift up John and Molly and the family. Lord, we know they're trusting you in a most amazing way. And I would just ask, Lord, that you would truly touch her, heal her, raise her up, give her strength, bring back her speech, her all of her abilities, Lord. I just saw what great faith she had even when she was here at Reston. And I remember some talks we had and what a strong woman that she is. And I do pray that you would use this for your glory in a greater way than we could ever imagine or think. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, we still got some time. Let's take the whole time, all 15, rather than come back. Let's thank John for the guts to come up here and do it.